Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Cuts in on the right foot, launches a golazo!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, and I'm not in Atlanta tonight. I am in Minneapolis as we get ready for Atlanta United and Minnesota United. Tomorrow night, you can hear that here on the station. Pre-game coverage starting at 7:30 with John Nelson and Abe Gordon in the studio. We'll kick off here, actually, in St. Paul tomorrow at 8:40 Eastern time. Still getting used to the time zone shift. It throws me off every single time. So we got a lot to talk about on the Atlanta United side of things, and a lot of it starts with a good win at home on Saturday night. The team comes back home to play Sunday against Sporting Kansas City. I do have some updates on the Breel Embolo pursuit, and it's a really interesting story at this point, and I'm very curious as to where everything ends up. I don't know. We're all going to find out together. We're also going to talk about what's been going on down in Fayetteville. It's been very, very cool to call the last two U.S. U-17 internationals as they get ready for the U-17 Women's World Cup in October in Morocco. Big game tomorrow against Canada to close out the... It's kind of an invitational. It's not a tournament per se, but three games against three teams that are headed to the World Cup. We'll talk about that and kind of what all that means for U.S. soccer and U.S. soccer being in our backyard in Fayetteville. And we'll get into the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile. But let's start with Atlanta United's win over the Red Bulls. Strong performance. I think you gave up a goal early, and we talked about it on the Five Stripes Countdown, and I broke it down throughout the match. The Red Bulls are a team that starts really well. And when you're a team that plays the Red Bull style, and this is not the old Red Bulls, where they almost played like they were allergic to having the ball. This Red Bulls team is okay with having the ball. They actually had more of the possession than Atlanta United, but they did not create nearly as many big chances as Atlanta United. But they created the first one, and they scored. Sixth minute, Emil Forsberg. Full credit to Atlanta United for picking themselves up off the mat. And look, you got to really take into account where this Atlanta United team is at the moment. Yeah, they'd had time. But the last match before the Red Bulls match was one of the most painful losses in recent history. Going down a man, going up two goals on the road against Philadelphia, but giving up two goals in stoppage time and losing 3-2. To then give up a goal in the sixth minute next time you're back in business and bring yourself back into the match, and not just with fluky goals, but outplaying the Red Bulls. Give this team credit. That doesn't make every loss prior to this go away, and this is always a conversation that comes up whenever a team is not playing well over a season but wins a game. Sometimes people have a feeling that when you give that team credit, it becomes like washing away everything that was bad before. No, it's respecting what happened in the match that we're talking about. And I think you have to respect what Atlanta United did in this match against the Red Bulls when you take the totality of the situation in. You were missing a starting designated player number 9. You don't have one at the moment. Latte-Lotte is gone. You don't have anybody else in. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Okay. You were also down 2 players who have been regular starters this season in the midfield. You were down Jay Fortune, who has injured the other hamstring. He was out for a good bit with a hamstring injury, got very close to coming back, and then injured his other hamstring. And you were out Will Riley, who had an ankle injury on Friday, the day before the game. Adrian Gill steps in, and Adrian Gill is a player you might not have known before Saturday night if you're an Atlanta United fan. Atlanta United 2 fans, we like to lovingly call Atlanta United 2 fans sickos, they knew who Adrian Gill was. If you read Soccer Down Here, you knew who Adrian Gill was. We've had a few features on him so far this season. His story is just fascinating to me. A guy who goes at a young age over to Spain and goes to the Barcelona area and goes to a club that is now part owned by Lionel Messi, which is even wilder, Cornelia. And then to get the invite to go into a trial for joining La Masia, joining FC Barcelona, joining one of the biggest clubs in the world, to be an American kid who didn't go to Spain for soccer, and to get there, to get in, to show well, to get the opportunity, and to continually climb the ladder. You know, Cornelia is a club that Jordi Alba came through, for example. You get into La Masia in 2018 if you're Adrian Gill. And his first year in the system, he was named to a La Masia Best 11. By the time you got to 2021-2022, he had played in multiple positions at La Masia. He'd played as a holding midfielder. He'd played as a right back. He'd played as a left back. He had played as a 6-8-10. This is all normal for top players in La Masia. He was described as being very mature, very intelligent, great first touch, strong shot from distance, which we've seen with Atlanta United 2 this season. Very intelligent, high soccer IQ player. He got his opportunity to sign a professional contract in 2022. In 2023, he was named to the UEFA Youth League roster, which is where the top academy players before breaking into the second team and first team, it's where they go. So he had gotten into second team games. He had played for the U19s. He had started training with the first team. And then he tore his ACL in training. And as he told us afterwards, he had 2 knee surgeries during his time in this process of trying to come back from the injury in September of 2023. He went back to Cornelia and played a little bit, trying to get right, trying to trust his body again. It was very difficult for him to do that. He decided to come back to the States. Chris Henderson acted quickly, brought him into Atlanta, and bet on him developing. and going to give him time to develop as well, because you're coming back from an ACL injury. It's tough. And there is a lot of mental stress with it, but there's also a lot of physical issues. And watching him with Atlanta United too this season, it has been really impressive to see him grow physically, but also grow in confidence because his body is responding the way that he wants. So because Jay Fortune's out, because Will Riley's out, Adrian Gill gets the start. He completed 41 of 43 passes, played the full 90, six defensive contributions in the midfield. First half, he was 26 of 26. I feel like it took him about 10 minutes to settle into the game. Great performance from Adrian Gill. He was involved in creating both goals. I mean, that's... and had multiple big defensive plays. Did everything he could want in a holding midfielder. And his presence allowed Tristan Muyamba to step up higher. Muyamba had a great opportunity in the first half that he did not convert. He converted a big one in the second half, a floater kind of, I mean, it's perfect placement for him into the upper far corner of the net, similar to the goal he scored in Philadelphia. Maybe not quite as much power, a little more placement. And it was his 100th appearance for the club, so an awesome moment for Tristan Muyamba. Fafa Pico won it off of a corner in the 78th minute. Gill hit the long diagonal. Tomas Akob, who I thought was brilliant on the night, won the corner. And then it was a short corner routine with Miguel Almiron and Alexei Maranchuk. Almiron's cross ended up on Fafa's head. Fafa puts it home. 2-1, and Atlanta United saw it out. Big save from Lucas Ojos late in that one. Tata Martino had a quote that really has stuck with me in post-game. He said, "What gives me peace of mind is that they keep going after it. We're in a bad position, but the players keep trying." Alexei Maranchuk talked about that before the game. Adrian Gill talked about that. Tristan Muyamba talked about that. Lucas Ojos talked about that in the locker room. That's where this team is right now. They are trying to improve. They are trying to build some momentum. They will continue to try tomorrow night. And this leads us to what's on tap. It's brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. What's on tap is a big game, 8:30 Eastern time. 8:40 is your kick. 7:30 Eastern time for your pregame show here on the station. Allianz Field, our first time at Allianz Field. Here with Atlanta United. The two previous games were on the campus of the University of Minnesota. So this is the first time to check out Allianz Field. It's Minnesota's year 10 celebration game. Atlanta United also in year 10. It's very cool to think back to that first game. It was Minnesota's first ever home game, the snow game, in Atlanta United's huge win. When people were wondering if all the South American players could handle playing in the snow, and they handled it pretty well. It was a good performance. The next year, 2018, was the first time I had been in here for this game. We didn't travel in 2017, and it was colder in 2018, but you didn't have snow. They had to battle, and red card to Leandro Gonzalez Pires, two yellows, and had to find a way to grind out a result. And it was one of the early examples of that 2018 team turning into what they turned into as the year went on and eventually winning MLS Cup. Sunday, Atlanta hosts Sporting Kansas City at the Benz. Both teams are in a bad spot in the table. Atlanta's trying to build some momentum to potentially change that, and they've got more home games than not the rest of the way. The opportunities are going to be there in front of them. Now, one player we already know is awaiting a visa, Mauricio Amaro, a central midfielder from Uruguay, who I think will definitely help the midfield, although he's going to have to compete with Muyamba, with Gill, with Cooper Sanchez, with Jay Fortune when he gets healthy, with Will Riley when he gets healthy. A lot of central midfielders in this club, and Amaro will give you something different. Now, Friday, it sounded all but done for Briel Embolo to join Atlanta United. It sounded like that when we talked to Mauricio Culebro before the game on Saturday. And then all of a sudden, Monday, there was a report in L'Equipe in France that Embolo, who plays in France with Rennes, was going to go to Ipswich Town instead. The reporting was that the bid had been accepted from Atlanta United by Ren for the forward, but Mbolo, again, according to the reporting in L'Équipe, rejected the personal terms. They reported this and said that Ipswich Town, who has been freshly promoted to the Premier League, now appeared to be in the favorite position. Now, here's what's interesting, because this morning, early, Ipswich Town's beat reporter Stuart Watson at the Ipswich Star and East Anglian Daily Times, he pushed back directly on that. He wrote that reports of Ipswich making progress on Mbolo are, quote, wide of the mark, unquote. His reporting said that Ipswich have had no contact with Ren or Mbolo over the last few days and are looking at other striker options entirely, including Julio Enciso from Strasbourg. So we don't know where things stand. It still sounds positive that Atlanta United is chasing Mbolo and very much can get him. Also, late breaking as of today from Foot Mercato in France, Ren has pulled Mbolo out of the first team squad entirely. He has been with the reserves along with two other players that are not expected to be part of the team in the Liga season. So that can be Ren applying pressure for a resolution. Mbolo, the reporting from L'Équipe about Ipswich Town has been disputed by people in Ipswich, so I'm very curious to see where all of this goes. We will keep you posted on everything as we hear it. But coming up next, we're going to talk about what's been going on down in Fayetteville, U.S. soccer, looking to the future with youth national teams. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about why this is important for the growth of the game in this country. More Atlanta soccer tonight to come on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Soccer on the world stage, and Jason Longshore has it all covered.
With Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. I am in Minneapolis, Minnesota tonight as we get ready for the Five Stripes facing the Loons of Minnesota United tomorrow night. I've also been very busy as of late on the soccer front. I know you're not surprised. We're getting into the fall season, so college seasons are underway. I've got my first college broadcast on Thursday night on ESPN Plus from Macon. Mercer, their men, start the season team that I'm looking forward to seeing in the SoCon. Looking forward to calling Georgia State matches as well. Mercer's women's team, Oglethorpe, the Stormy Petrels. Looking forward to the college season getting started. And also one of the other things that I'm really enjoying is what we're seeing now because of the Arthur M. Blank U.S. Soccer National Training Center. They've been talking at U.S. Soccer about the U.S. way. And one of the aspects of it, I know there's still a lot of people talking about the U.S. men's performance at the World Cup, Mauricio Pochettino getting a new contract, and people are in their feelings about it, and some good, some bad, and some people are just being performative. I think one of the maybe under the radar aspects of how U.S. soccer, and U.S. soccer is not just the U.S. men's national team, and that's why I pushed back extremely hard on pundits who were yelling about how Cindy Parlow-Cohn should step down because the U.S. men's team went out in the round of 16 in the Men's World Cup. Which is foolish because that's where they were ranked and that's where they should have gotten and that's what they did what they were supposed to do. So your president of your federation is not supposed to step down at that point. And here's the other reason it's foolish. The president of the United States Soccer Federation oversees a whole lot more than one team. The extended national teams alone, you're talking 20 plus national teams. You have the entire U.S. men's program, which includes a U23 team that is going to convene as they start to prepare for the Olympics next year. They're going to convene, I believe, in November and hopefully in Fayetteville for part of it. I'll be curious to see that group. Steve Cherundolo is now in charge of that group. You have a U20 team and then multiple youth teams going all the way down to a U15 pool. You have the same on the women's side. And here recently, it's been the U17 women's national team in Fayetteville. And it's been a really cool World Cup dress rehearsal that concludes tomorrow. The U.S. women have played Mexico, they have played Chile, and they will play Canada tomorrow. All teams that are going to the U17 Women's World Cup in October in Morocco. So this is the last chance to really impress. Right now, 24 players were brought in by the U.S. You have to bring that down to a 21-player World Cup roster. I had the chance to call the first two games for the U.S. It was a 1-1 draw against Mexico last Thursday and then a 1-0 win over Chile on Sunday night. I think what's really impressed me about this, and I got a chance to see a lot of Canada and Mexico on Sunday, it's the overall level across the entire group, across all four teams. The U.S.-Mexico game was an outstanding match, played at a really good pace, a really good level. It was competitive, and I was really impressed by Mexico and how much they didn't play like I had seen Mexican women's national teams play in the past. This was a Mexico team that dominated possession and was also very good with how much pressure they put the U.S. under. They did not play in any way intimidated by the United States. It was a really good performance. The U.S. ended up finding the opening goal that night, Amari Manning, who is headed to North Carolina when this event is done. Graduated high school early to go to UNC. Her future teammate, Du Stanislaus, won the header against Chile to win that match, came on as a substitute. Chile was more defensive than Mexico. It was a little bit different kind of performance, but really difficult to break down. And it was a situation where the substitutions, the overall depth of the U.S. pool definitely played a factor in the U.S. getting past Chile. Another substitute was heavily involved in starting the sequence, Loredana Paleta, who plays out of New York and also like plays with New York City's boys teams in MLS Next. And plays very well. I'm not surprised seeing her play in this event. An outstanding player carrying the ball forward and then putting it out wide to Jordan Sullivan. Sullivan's cross found Stanislaus, and that was the difference in the Chile match. Tomorrow, the camp concludes 5 o'clock Eastern time. You can watch it on the U.S. Soccer YouTube, USA Canada. Madison Cruz will be on the call for that one. So you're looking for something before the Atlanta United-Minnesota game, you get the U.S. U-17s. Looking at this roster, one, no Georgia players in it. That's something that I hope changes over time. But a lot of talent and three players that are already going to college. The two North Carolina players in Amari Manning and Dee Stanislaus. But then also you have Caroline Swan, who is enrolling at the University of Texas and will be playing for the Longhorns once this event is done. There were a number of players who really impressed me in this. Maddie DeMaria from the St. Louis area, I thought was the most explosive player that that the U.S. had. In the center of the back line, Malia Brewer, who is the only current professional player in the group. She plays for Kansas City in the NWSL. You could see the difference, the composure from her. But really, across the board, out of the players that I've had the chance to see in the two games that I called, I really like the future of this U.S. women's program. Multiple players across all the position groups that have a lot to offer and a lot of different things to offer. And that's what I think was maybe the most eye-opening to me about this, because I think at times when we're talking about youth player development, and especially once we get to this level, you see a lot of players that are taught in similar ways and play in similar fashions. And I didn't get that with this U.S. U-17 team. I like the diversity of the kinds of players that you have. You have a few just great speed getting up and down the wing and stretching the field that way. You have a few who were very crafty on the ball, and maybe it wasn't a speed and power thing. It was much more of a technical thing. I thought in terms of the tactics of the way that you could see Kiara Crinion wanting her team to play, intelligent players, and they could switch things around a little bit and try some different ways to hurt good opponents. I was just overall really impressed with the level, not just of the physical level or the soccer level, but also the intelligence level of this group. And I'm looking forward to seeing the match against Canada. And I'm looking forward now to the U-17 Women's World Cup, which will start October 17th. The U.S. is in Group E. They will play Samoa, they'll play Kenya, and they'll play China. Should be able to get out of that group. Should be comfortable to get out of the group. And then you get into the round of 16 and anything can happen. Now, here's what's cool about this is in the past, you didn't get these kind of events on a regular basis anywhere. And now that you have the Arthur M. Blank U.S. Soccer National Training Center, you're able to get these players together more often. That's going to help the men's and women's senior national teams. No way around it. When you get players who are comfortable in the environment, getting more chances to interact, it's one of the differences that, honestly, when I look at Spain, and Spain is absolutely who you should be looking at right now. Spain is the men's World Cup champion and the women's World Cup champion. You should be looking at what Spain does and how can you replicate it. You can't replicate the role of football in Spanish culture. You can't replicate that here yet. And that's okay. You get some other benefits from the game being in a different place here. You get some other benefits from players growing up playing other sports that can help you here. Every country is different. Every country has its own profile. But what fascinates me about Spain, when you look at how their women's program built and how their men's program, when it's at its best, the hallmarks of it, I really look at how you have players that have chemistry because they've played together, and not just at the senior level, at the U-20s, at the U-16s, the U-17s, the U-18s, the U-19s. You get players who know one another and know how to play with one another. So having the U.S. Soccer National Training Center here in the Atlanta area is really going to help both the men's and women's senior national teams over time. And you're also just able to get more camps together. The U19 men's national team just finished as the runners-up at the CONCACAF U20 championship. That group will head to the World Cup next year. Cooper Sanchez was a part of it. Also, Braden Dunham, who is headed to his sophomore season at Furman. Future pro, absolutely. He's looked at one of the best college players coming up in the season. He was one of the best players for the U.S. in this tournament. They got to the final. They lost to Mexico in the final 2-0 at the Estadio Azteca. They qualified for the World Cup. That was goal number one. The U20 women's national team, they are already qualified for the upcoming FIFA U20 World Cup. That's going to be in Poland this fall. These youth national teams, and having them go all the way down to the youngest age groups, it's just such an important part of building these overall programs. You go from a U23, which on the men's side is an Olympic team. On the women's side, it's a team that is for players who might be late bloomers, might be ones who are, it's almost like a B team in a way for the senior national team. There's not a dedicated competition for them, but that team will get games. And then you go U19, which is where your U20s end up. Your U17s, your U20s, your U19s, your U18s, your U17s, your U16s, your U15s, and then you have a development program for U14. Does that mean a player is going to get a call up at 13 years old in the U14 group and be there all the way through? No. It exposes them to the level, and it exposes U.S. soccer to who that player is and how they develop over time. These are very important things if you want to see the women back dominating the women's game internationally, which the amount of competition that is there globally now is on another level. You need to find all the different possibilities you can to be your best. And on the men's side, look, you're trying to bridge a gap. You're trying to bridge a gap against teams that might have more talent than you, might have more of the game being embedded in their cultures than you. How can you bridge that gap? Chemistry. Chemistry and players developing together and getting these opportunities because of a facility like the Arthur M. Blank U.S. Soccer National Training Center. Don't forget, tomorrow, 5 o'clock, USA and Canada, they close out the U17 Invitational, preparing for the upcoming World Cup. 5 o'clock, you can watch it on the U.S. Soccer YouTube channel. Coming up next, the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines from all over the world, and three things that have made me smile as of late. All coming up next on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With a bit of structure.
Shot. Goal!
Let's get the formation set. It's the 3-4-3 on Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Welcome back. Final segment of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Atlanta United and the Loons tomorrow. Kickoff at 8:40. Pregame coverage 7:30 here on the station. But y'all know how we end the show by now. 3-4-3. Little bit of structure. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile. Let's start on the local side. Number one, Atlanta United 2 signed Andrew Hardines this week. Academy midfielder. He is signed on a pro contract through the 2027-2028 MLS Next Pro season. He's from Cumming, Georgia, originally. He joined the academy kind of late. And this is what I've been getting into a lot lately when we talk about player development and maybe player identification in this country. And I know there's a lot of talk about pay-to-play and that aspect and how it's hurting player development, it's hurting the national team. I would push back on that. I think it's hurting the game in different ways. I don't think it's hurting the national team because guys who come through the Atlanta United Academy are not paying. And they're going to find you if you are performing well. And Andrew Hardines is an example of that. He was a player who wasn't in the academy until the U18s. And he has risen up the ranks so fast. I had a chance to see him with the U18s this past season in MLS Next. And then when he got the opportunity with Atlanta United 2, he has not given up the spot. He's been that good. He's described as a guy with three lungs. I mean, the guy runs so much. He's a really interesting central midfielder because in the way that Atlanta United 2 is playing right now, more of a 3-4-2-1, he's one of the holding midfielders in the midfield box. But he's also very good in the attacking half and can create chances. I love Hardines' overall game, and I'm really curious to see how his development continues. It's a great success story for Atlanta United's academy in a different way because it's a player that they identified, joined at a later age, and was able to adapt and also be developed even further. Really impressive overall. Really impressive from Andrew Hardines because he has put in the work and he is on a pro contract as of this week. Speaking of Atlanta United 2, that is local story number 2. Atlanta beat Chicago 2-1 this afternoon / morning. Kickoff was at 11 a.m. at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta training ground in Marietta. Arif Kovac opened the scoring in the 33rd minute. A give and go. Pita to Kovac to Dunbar and back to Kovac for a first-time finish. He has now tied the club's single-season scoring record at 16 goals. Enzo Dovolo doubled it in the 39th minute, assisted by Mr. Andrew Hardines. Cutting in from the right, ripped one into the top corner. Chicago pulled one back, second minute of stoppage time, Brody Williams. Dovolo was sent off in the 93rd minute, a shoving exchange with a Chicago player who also saw red. Dunbar's assist on the opener extended his own club record to 9 for the season. He leads MLS Next Pro in assists. Kovac leads the MLS Next Pro League in goals. And the win completed a 3-game sweep of the season series against Chicago. First time Atlanta United 2 has swept a 3-game series in the Next Pro era. They are 11-8-4, 37 points. They are back above the playoff line now. And they're back again at home on Saturday, hosting Orlando City B, who is right on that playoff line. 1 o'clock Eastern time start. You can go and watch this for free in Marietta. Go to atlutd.com for details, and you'll go click the Atlanta United 2 section of the page. But also, you'll be able to listen to the match with myself and Madison Cruz on Soccer Down Here, soccerdownhere.net/listen. Number three, on the local side, college soccer is underway. The regular season has started. Number 19, Georgia, they opened their season with a scoreless draw at Illinois on August 13th, a 1-1 draw at Minnesota on Sunday. This is a preseason ranking earned for the sixth time in the top 20 in program history. But Thursday night, maybe the biggest game in program history, they host James Madison at Dooley Field inside Sanford Stadium, the first time ever for Georgia soccer to play at Sanford Stadium. It is the first time a soccer match will be played at Sanford Stadium since the 1996 Olympics. The semifinals and finals of the men's and women's tournaments were held there. The U.S. won gold on the women's side. Nigeria, a legendary gold on the men's side. Nigeria beat both Brazil and Argentina to do that. And the women's gold medal was the first women's soccer gold medal ever awarded. 76,481 were there for that USA win in the gold medal match. That still stands, or that broke the international attendance record for a women's sporting event at the time. Athletic director at UGA, Josh Brooks, he has challenged the Bulldog faithful to break the NCAA soccer attendance record. On the women's side, that's just over 14,000. And on the men's side, a game back in 1980 drew over 22,000. Free admission. All you got to do is go fill out the form, get your ticket, and go. And I'm sure a lot of people will then go to downtown Athens that night. It's a Thursday night in Athens, after all. If you went to UGA like I did, you know all about Thursday nights in Athens. So this is a huge deal. You'll be able to watch it on ESPNU, but go to Athens, go to Sanford Stadium if you can, and watch this match. It is a huge opportunity to put Georgia soccer even more imprinted on the map. All right, four headlines from all over the world. Number one, let's stay in MLS. Nashville thrashed Inter Miami 4-1 on the weekend. Hani Mukhtar scored twice. Sam Surridge added another one. Dominant second half. Lionel Messi missed a penalty in the 23rd minute. He's having a rough run of things from the penalty spot. He had two misses at the World Cup. Nashville, they are first in the East on 43 points. Miami had a 7-match unbeaten streak going in MLS. That is over. Nashville right now is looking like the best team in MLS. I will not discount Miami in a playoff situation, not with the quality that they have, until they are beaten. I think Vancouver, LAFC, probably the class of the West, although Houston and San Jose are both trying to say something about that. I'm also really intrigued to see Chicago with Robert Lewandowski. Are they going to be better with Lewandowski than they were with Kuipers, or is it going to be much of the same? I think Nashville right now is the team to beat. I don't know if they will be the team to beat by the time we get to the end of the regular season. We'll find out. Number two, the Premier League kicks off on Friday. They pushed it back a week to deal with the World Cup. I think Arsenal has to be the favorite coming in. They have to be for me. I mean, Arsenal, for a lot of reasons last year, I feel like a lot of people didn't want Arsenal to actually go on and do this. You have a lot of hate watching in the Premier League. It's very entertaining at times with who gets hate watched the most. And it felt like Arsenal kind of turned into that at times. They're 38% favorites to win the Premier League, according to Opta. That would be back-to-back titles. Your only Premier League managers right now who have retained a title: Alex Ferguson, Jose Mourinho, and Pep Guardiola. The Gunners have spent money. They've added Bruno Guimarães as their standout signing. Manchester City lost 3-0 to Arsenal in the Community Shield on Sunday. They're looked at as the second favorites, but this is Enzo Maresca's first season. This is a Manchester City team that does not have Rodri anymore. He is gone to Barcelona. Manchester City team doesn't have Pep anymore. I have questions. Liverpool, third favorites. I have questions with Andoni Iraola. I think he'll be good. I don't know if he'll be good straight away. Manchester United, fourth favorites. I have questions. Is what we saw from Michael Carrick at the end of last season reality? Is it something that can be replicated? Do they have enough overall talent? I don't think they have more talent than City or Liverpool or Arsenal or probably Chelsea, who's sixth favorites, and I got tons of questions about them too. Aston Villa's picked fifth. I'm curious. I feel like this is Arsenal's title to lose, but I also, it's very rare that you get to that point and it feels that way, and it feels so obvious. This one feels really obvious. That almost scares me to pick Arsenal, but I'm picking Arsenal to win the Premier League. Number three on the headlines from around the world, I mentioned it, Rodri, he has signed with Barcelona, was going to go to Real Madrid, and then Barcelona swooped in. Their midfield is basically the Spanish national team midfield with Dani Olmo, with Pedri, with Gavi, now Rodri. Tons of chemistry, tons of continuity. I think Rodri fits Barcelona like a glove, and I think it has to increase Barcelona's chances to be a Champions League winner this year. Number four, speaking of cups, when we talk about these cup competitions, the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, 9 Georgia clubs are in the field for the 2027 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup in the amateur rounds. 9 clubs among the 155 entering the fall qualifying rounds, the most ever to enter the tournament outside of the professional ranks. You have Buckhead SC, you have Terminus FC, you have Peachtree FC, Prima Football Club, Kalonji Pro Profile, Lake Country United, Potros, Swarm FC, and UFA Lawrenceville. So a 4-round qualifying bracket will come out later this week. That'll wrap in November. The winners will then go into the Open Cup field alongside MLS and USL sides. Really looking forward to the Open Cup getting started. All right, quickly, 3 things that have made me smile lately about the game. Number one, Atlanta United coming back on Saturday. That absolutely made me smile. And Tristan Muyamba getting the goal that he did after a bad miss in the first half. He's given so much for this team in his 100 appearances, and this season especially, because he's not better at the 6 than he is as a more attacking midfielder. But he's played it because he's been the best option, and he's been the most steady option in that role. Now, with Adrian Gill, with Will Riley, with the emergence of, hopefully, Mauricio Amaro, Muyamba will be able to push higher up the field. I was really happy that he got that moment. Number two, Andrew Jardines, a player that I've enjoyed since he came into the academy at the U18s, and then when he made his debut as a starter over in Athens this summer for the twos, the rise is really fast for Andrew Jardines. But you talk about that central midfield with Tristan Muyamba, with Adrian Gill, with Jay Fortune, with Will Riley, with Mauricio Amaro, with now Andrew Jardines, with Didi Cyprian, with a number of players in the second team that are going to be pushing for first team opportunities here really soon. And number three, just what we're going to see in Athens on Thursday. The University of Georgia is having a soccer game be played in Sanford Stadium. They're not taking the hedges out. Don't get worked up about it, please. But they're going to play this match and make a spectacle of their women's soccer program, which, look, at times, I think has been overlooked in the UGA athletic department. Kidani McAlpine has come in and really elevated the program in a big way. You've had players like Croy Bethune come from there. Many more professionals are coming out of UGA than ever before. And now you're going to have the spotlight of college soccer all over the country looking at you on Thursday night in Sanford Stadium, trying to set an NCAA attendance record, the same place that the 1996 Olympics made history. A really cool night. If you get the chance to go, go to Athens, go to Sanford Stadium, go support Georgia against James Madison. If you're not a Georgia fan, just wear something neutral and go and enjoy yourself. It'll be fun. Really looking forward to seeing how that looks on TV. I'll be in Macon at Mercer for that night. It's a special night in soccer in Georgia tomorrow night. Special night for Atlanta United. An anniversary match of sorts playing Minnesota. Both came into the league the same time. 10 seasons old. And Atlanta and Minnesota will renew acquaintances tomorrow. 7:30 pregame, 8:40 kick. We got it all here on 92.9 The Game. Thank you for hanging out with me on a Tuesday night. I'll be back with you next Tuesday for more Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Adios, everybody.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.